hymn we're going to start off with, Come to the Savior. This is what we've been preaching and encouraging people to do for 33 years here at Raceway Baptist Church. And so let's sing, Come to the Savior, make no delay. All right, let's stand as we sing number 15. Sing out. Received back to heaven right now and calling men, women, children to come to the Savior. Make no delay. Trust in Him and be saved. That's what it's all about. And we pray that You would help us as a church to continue on in the years that lie ahead between now and the rapture, that we would be faithful in the preaching of the Word of God for both the lost and the saved. The saved need to learn the Word of God and grow and be good witnesses and testimonies for You. The lost need to hear clearly that they're sinners and Jesus paid the price for their sin. And they need to be invited to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin. So help us to keep on, keeping on in this way until the Lord comes for us. We pray for those of our number who are not here this morning, some not feeling well, other reasons as well, that You'd watch over them, draw them close to Yourself. And then for all of us who are here, Lord, we gather together in order to fellowship together, to sing together, to pray together, today to have communion together around the Lord's table, and then to hear the Word of God and see what it is You have for us today out of Your holy Word. And then to go forth after the service out into the world and be a shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ. So may it be a prosperous time as a result of being here this morning. May everything that's done bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. All right, number 11. Let's keep singing. Number 11. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What is? Well, know the grace of God. That's what it is. Number 11. Joy unspeakable.
Joy unspeakable. There's something special for this morning to commemorate the 33rd anniversary of our church. I'd like to speak on, let me have one of them two pieces, the subject of practical and biblical methods of establishing a church. You say, well, we've been here for 33 years, we're going to establish it now. Well, I guess we're always establishing it. We're always starting the church. I tell you what, folks, if everybody stayed here, that came here, we'd been in a new building by now for sure. But, we're not so concerned about numbers that we'd compromise things, and so we just preach the truth and let those who want to come, come. And it seems that truth these days is not respected that highly. And that's too bad, and too bad for those who don't respect it. What should we do? What should we do? Well, we need to establish a church, and there's some practical and biblical methods of establishing a church. And even if a church is 33 years old, what are we going to do from here now till the rapture? We need to establish a church for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to just keep on keeping on for the Lord. I know that some of you have talked with me even recently because you know that I am not a full-time minister. I work. I work more than 40 hours a week at this job selling plumbing supplies to hospitals, nursing homes, schools, colleges, and any other building that has a lot of toilets and sinks. And so that's what I do all week long, you see. You mean to tell me there's that much business? Yes, in fact, there's competitors against me out there while I'm doing this. Yes, it's a big market, and I work. And you know what? Every Monday, usually Monday, as I go traveling to my first customer, I say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? All right, help me to sell these plumbing supplies to support myself, my wife, and to be able to support the church and things like that. And, well, he does. And I do okay, and I make the necessary money we need. I tell you what, I sure would like to spend more time doing the work of the Lord. And, there's a lot of books I'd like to read. And it's getting late in life, and I don't know if I'm ever going to get those books read before I go. Oh, man, I'm glad that Barbara came today. And, you know what? We just need more folks coming, giving, and then we could go full time. It's a possibility. So you say, 33 years you've been doing it this way. Yes, I know, but we can change, and I'd love to change. But we just need to ask God's will in this whole matter. Because we're not going to compromise in order to get that goal. We are not going to compromise. Just plain out will not do it. And so, we need to do some things, though, in the meantime, while we try to establish a church for the honor and glory of the Lord. By way of introduction, you can see right there, everyone must start with a life-changing experience. Would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, and verse 31, I actually read this passage for communion time this morning. Did you notice the last verse? The last verse. Verse 31. Everyone must start with a life-changing experience. Verse 31 says, but these are written. And that means all the words found in your Bible have been written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Now, just prior to that, it was about Thomas not believing because he did not see the resurrected Savior. And then when he saw Him, he believed. Then the Lord makes that statement in verse 29 there, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And it says that Jesus did many other signs which are not written in this book. You know, there's a lot of things Jesus did that are just not in our Bible. And it comes down to the last verse to say this, but these are written that ye might believe. I've had people say to me, well, if Jesus would just come down, I'd believe. Or if some miracle would happen, I would believe. Or if someone would come back from the dead, I would believe. And they give you that argument all the time, it seems. My Bible says, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Folks, if you will not take the witness of this book, the Bible, there's no other way for you to get saved. Now, you can see all the miracles you want. And there's all kinds of miracle workers out there, and I believe some of them are there by the devil's work and the deceiving work of the devil, even while they use the name of Jesus to do it. Because I was watching this thing yesterday. My wife was away, so I was watching some things yesterday during the afternoon. A lot of times when I start watching these, she'll say, "Why are you watching that?" Because it gets me all upset and angry when I see these ministries out there deceiving people. That's what gets me upset and angry, when I see them deceiving people. This guy was making some woman's eyes to see. Making her, she was seeing double. And when he was done, she could see it clearly. And it was just such a joke. The guy said, "Now, do you have contacts in there?" No contacts in there. I have a cornea transplant." He said, "What's that?" I mean, this is the guy who's going to heal him. And he said, "What's that? I don't know what that is." And what a joke. What an absolute fraud. And he's praying on her, and he's got his hand on her eye, and he's kind of like pushing into it and stuff like that. That's such baloney, it's pathetic. It really gets me going. The place was packed with people, folks. A lot of people being deceived by that stuff. The place was packed. I mean, a lot more than are here this morning. Thousands of people were there, all shouting and hollering, thinking it was the greatest thing at all. And it's nothing but a deception of the worst kind. A deception. I tell you what, if you can't just take the testimony of the Word of God about Jesus Christ, who He is and what He did, you aren't going to get saved no matter what. You've got to come by the way of the book, the Word of God, and get saved. And let me ask you, are you saved this morning? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you have life through His name? If you died today, are you going to be with Him in glory up there in heaven? We'll put your body in the grave, but where will your soul and spirit be? If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's washed your sins away and He's given you eternal life, and you're going to be with Him the split second you pass away from this life. You're going to be with Him in glory. Do you know that? If you don't know that, then you need to have that experience right from the Word of God. Not from something happening, but from the Word of God. Believing the Word of God, and you'll have life through His name. That's where it starts. Because then after you get saved, you can get involved in a church and start helping, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't really be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ until you've started with salvation. That's where it starts. A lot of people say, "Well, I'll get involved in the church, and then maybe everything will turn out all right." It won't. It won't. You can get involved in our church or any other church, but if you haven't come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you aren't even started right yet. You haven't even begun yet. And you need to start right there at the cross, see that He died for your sins, repent of your sins, trust Him as your Savior, and He'll give you life, eternal life. Because of believing in Him. Now, if you know the Lord is your personal Savior, here's some practical and biblical methods of establishing a church. Number one, a strong conviction. There's what I want you to put in there, conviction. A strong conviction that Jesus is coming again. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. You should be pretty close to there if you're at John 20, 31. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven.'" One of the most precious things that the early church needed to continue on to serve the Lord. I mean, here's all the disciples of the Lord and all the women also who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And others who had identified themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, now that He was dead, He was buried, He rose again, He ascended back up into heaven, here they are now, what do we do? The very first thing that God provides for them is the promise that He's coming back. He's coming back. And that's what the church needs, and you and I need to rejoice in that. I'm not going to go there, but the books of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, each one of the chapters either ends with, or very close to the end of the chapter, ends with the subject that Jesus is coming again. And for the church. Not just to the end time, which is what we've been preaching on Sunday mornings after the tribulation, battle of Armageddon, the Lord's going to come back and set up His kingdom with Israel and all that. But He's coming back at any moment for His church called the rapture. We're looking for that to take place. What a blessed hope for us to establish a church upon. It's good to be able to share with others. Yes, we're a church, and we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming again for us at any time. It's good to be able to say that. Well, people say, how long is the world going to last? Well, I don't know, but I know one thing. The Lord's coming for the church at any time. I know that. And then 7 years after that, the battle of Armageddon, the Lord's coming back. There's a timetable for you. You know, a lot of people think that the world's just going to stay around for millions of years, end up burning into a little cinder, you know. No. The Lord's coming back any time for the church. And that's what we're to do as we establish a church. We should be known as a people who are looking for the Savior to come back. And don't we sing a lot of songs about that? Oh, yes, we enjoy it, don't we? Where we'll never grow old, you know. Don't we enjoy singing that song? Yeah. Just over in the glory land. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. We sing songs like that. Jesus is coming, is coming, is coming. Jesus is coming again. We sing. We enjoy that. One of the first things that we need to know for sure. Our Savior's coming back again. Number two, a yielding. Put that word yielding in there. Y-I-E-L-D-I-N-G. A yielding to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see one thing for sure in here. There's no yielding to the ministry of Pastor Freeman. No, don't be doing that. There's enough people doing that. Enough Christian robots running around saying, well, I'm just like Pastor so-and-so. I'm just like Pastor... Look it. A yielding to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2. If you just turn over to there, you'll see Acts chapter 2. Maybe your Bible even has a heading for it. And it'll talk about the Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit coming down and indwelling all the early church believers there. And ever since that day, anyone who trusts Jesus Christ as personal Savior into your life and heart and being comes the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, comes in and dwells inside you. I don't understand it completely. I don't know what part of your body He's at. He's through you all. He's in you all. And He's there. I just know that my Bible teaches that. And Jesus said, I'll be with you, and the Father will be with you. I will be in you, and you will be in me. What a union we have together with our Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing as precious as this relationship you have the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're in Christ, and He's in you. And it's through this ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's an immersion of the Holy Ghost of us into the very body of Christ. Make no doubt about it. That's not a water baptism. That's a spiritual, mystical baptism that the Holy Spirit puts you right into Christ. The ritual baptism is something the Lord asks us to do to identify publicly with the Lord in His death, burial, and resurrection. But you better already, before you've been dunked in water, already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit done in you. And that happens the split second you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Immersed right into the body of Christ you are, and never will that be separate. Go to Romans chapter 8. If you're in Acts, go to the right, just one book. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I want to show you a few verses in this chapter here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. a yielding to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. And that word kind of gives you the primary thought of going to hell, but it's the idea of judgment, chastening, discipline. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You're to yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Go to verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Christian, yield yourself to this ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. If you yield to your flesh, it'll bring forth death in your life. You yield to the Spirit, it brings forth life. Life! Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That kind of response in your life. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh. It's obvious by the very fact that this is in here and it's directed to believers, that believers can live after the flesh. They can. And they do. They shouldn't, but they do. What should we do? We should live after something else, not the flesh. We've already lived long enough according to the flesh before we got saved. Now we need to yield our members to the Holy Spirit. Reading on, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How do you know who's saved and who isn't? You watch them. Do they live according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? If they're Spirit-filled and spiritual, you know they're a child of God. That's how you know. How do you know someone else is saved? You watch them. You look and see if there's spiritual fruit in their life. That's the only way you can do it. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How about that? How do you know you're saved even? Well, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And amen, that's right, and that's what you got to do to be saved. But 10 years down the road, how do you know that was for real? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, or the children of God. You know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is there not only to help us, to give us power over sin, over the flesh, but to give us assurance of who we are and what we are in Christ Jesus. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, see your union together with Christ in these verses? Believers, before I go to number 3 on this thing, you need to know you are welded together. You're united together with Christ. And that can never be undone. So yield to the Holy Spirit's ministry in you. You have a choice every day. In fact, every moment of the day, you have a choice. Will I yield to the Spirit that's within me, or will I entertain the flesh? You can do either. You can't do both. I was almost going to say that. You can't do both. Either one or the other. Either one or the other. And you do that throughout the day, every day. But we're being told here and exhorted in the Scriptures, yield. Yield to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Reading on, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be also glorified together. All right, number 3. What else do we need to do if we want to establish a good church, a glorious church for the Lord? Number 3, a dependence. That's the word, a dependence upon the importance of prayer. And actually in my notes I have a dependence upon the importance of an assembly prayer time. Not only individually praying unto the Lord, but a church together praying. You see that in the book of Acts a lot. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. You see it right there. If you want to write some of these verses down for yourself, I'll read this. It says, Acts chapter 1. I'm still in Romans. Let me get to Acts chapter 1 verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Folks, as we get down to what we believe to be the end times, the rapture of the church and so forth, prayer needs to be something that we spend more time doing. We need to depend upon the importance of an assembly prayer time. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. The day of Pentecost, the event of the Holy Spirit descending, took place while they were in prayer, if you look at it. They were all with one accord in one place, it says there. Verse 42 of chapter 2 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You know what? We can get real excited about good old-fashioned Bible preaching. Go ahead, preacher, preach the word, preach the word. But I tell you what, we better mold that together with prayer. Otherwise, we're just filling the air with noise. We're filling the air with noise. Yeah, I know you can get excited about things, you know. Boy, the preacher was really preaching it today. Amen, amen, hallelujah, glory. You know, you hear people shouting and everything while you're preaching. And that's good. Don't get me wrong. But we better mold that together with a dependence of prayer. Else, we're but sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. That's all we are. 1 Corinthians 13. We need to have faith and charity, and it comes out in prayer time. I encourage you folks, we need to be a prayerful church. Chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, and they ended up healing the guy, and a great work of God took place. Chapter 4, verse 24, when the servants of the Lord were threatened to not speak in the word of the Lord, it says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, and they started to pray. Chapter 6, verse 4, and chapter 12, verse 12. I'll just throw those out for you to write down if you want. We need to have a dependence upon the importance of prayer. Number four. Here's the word I want you to put in there. Identification. Okay? Identification with Christ through baptism. What? We want to establish a church. Well, everyone needs to be identified with Christ through the ordinance of immersion, baptism. One thing you'll find the early church is they all were baptized. They all saw the need for this. Why? Because it identifies you with Christ and what He did. And it's one of the two things that the Lord asks all the believers to do. One is what we did this morning, the Lord's table. And we should do that often. The other is baptize. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize those who believe the gospel. And we do that one time. We don't baptize over and over and over again. We baptize one time. Because baptism is a picture of salvation, what took place when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We should probably preach a few sermons on what takes place the moment you get saved. There's a lot of things that take place. I mean, the very split second, and only God knows when you've changed over from death unto life. Only God knows when that faith in you is what it is needed in order to be saved. Only God knows that. But boy, once He knows that, into action goes many things. Unseen by your eyes. Unseen by others. But not unseen by God. And not unknown eventually by yourself. Sooner or later you're going to come to know, whoa, look what happened to me. You pass from death unto life. Of course, I don't want to preach that message right now, but boy, a lot of things have taken place the split second you get saved. And baptism, which you do afterward, sometimes days afterward, depending on the situation, might be months later, that you follow in believer's baptism. It's preferable to do it right away, but sometimes it isn't able to be done. Like, we don't have a baptismal pool here, and so sometimes you have to wait for that event. Does that mean all the other things hasn't happened yet? And that, oh boy, if you don't get baptized in water, you're not going to end up going to heaven. Absolutely not. It has nothing to do with that. It's an outward testimony of what's already taken place inside. When the preacher takes you down under that water, it's a picture of the old Gary, lost, on his way to hell, being slain and crucified with Christ and down under, buried together with Christ. And I'm glad that's not where it stops. Or we'd have a lot of drowned candidates for baptism, right? The preacher then brings you back up out of the water, a picture of new life in Christ, which has already taken place back at the moment when you, by faith, trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So, everybody in a good church that's biblical should be baptized in water. Yeah. That's why we call ourselves Race Street Baptist Church, and that's about the only reason for that name being attached to it. Because I tell you what, there's a lot of churches that are called Baptists that are not worth going to. They're apostate, liberal, they don't believe the Word of God, they're not preaching the truth, but they're baptizing people, but that doesn't mean you're going to heaven just because you're baptized. We're a Baptist church, and we need to be faithful to the Word of God after people get baptized. But everybody in the church should be identified with Christ. How about, look at Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41. Is that biblical, or are you just preaching Baptist stuff right now? Oh, it's Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Listen to this verse. I mean, this is as clear as a bell, if you can understand English. Then they that gladly received His word were, what? And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were baptized. That means down into the water and back up out. It doesn't mean sprinkled on, dusted on. It means under, back up. 3,000 of them in one day. Well, that'd take a while to do, wouldn't it? We'd have to rent the YMCA for the whole day. And that would cost a lot, too. But I don't believe 3,000 are getting saved in one day anymore these days. No, don't believe it. It's true. It's not happening. All right, number five. A foundation upon the apostles' doctrine or the Word of God. That's the same thing as the Word of God. A church needs to have its foundation on the apostles' doctrine. I mean, who wrote the New Testament? The apostles. They wrote the New Testament. So everything we believe and teach is based upon their doctrine that was given to them by the Holy Spirit of God. They wrote it down. It's been preserved to our day. And we still stand upon it. We've got to be a Bible church before we're anything else. That's what we've got to be. A Bible church before we're anything else. That's why we like that slogan, which we've used for 33 years now. Where the Bible is explained, what? That's what we say, don't we? Where the Bible is explained, verse by verse. Now, not every service do we end up doing that like this morning, but most of the time, it's get your Bibles out, let's continue on, let's study the Word of God, verse by verse. A church that's going to be any good for the Lord needs to be established upon a foundation, that's the word for number five, for the assembly upon the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42 is your verse there. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Guess what? We need to continue on doing the same thing. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. 6 verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Yes, the Word of God. Acts 20 verse 32. Paul encourages and exhorts the elders at Ephesus. And what does he say to these preachers in verse 32? And now, brethren, I commend you to God. It was like as if he was giving his last will and testament here. All right? He says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. We're talking about establishing a church. We've got to have a foundation upon the apostles' doctrine, the word of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are the importance of the Word of God. Now you don't see here, now go and do healing services. You know, healing crusades. It says the Word of God. Build them up on the Word of God. We need to get people back to the Bible. Not back to experiences and huge crusades where, Benny Hinn and all these fakers. I'll call them fakers. Do all their stuff. We need to get back to the Word. That guy needs to get back to the Word. Then, number six, a zeal. That's the word zeal. To spread the good news. Evangelistic. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. It says this. Acts 2:47 for your verse for that. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And Acts chapter 2 verses 38, 41, 47. Those are other verses. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Acts chapter 4 verse 4. I'm giving you these because I want you to see how many there are. Acts chapter 5 verse 14. Acts chapter 6 verses 1 and 7. Acts chapter 8 verse 4. And chapter 28 verse 24. The very last chapter of the book of Acts. What is he doing? It starts out with spreading the good news and it ends with continue on spreading the good news. We need to be seeking the lost like we sang this morning. We need to have a zeal to spread the good news. You know, it's just good to hear some of you say, well, I got to get my dad saved. I got to get my mom saved. I have a brother who isn't saved. I have some children that aren't saved. It's just good. That is good. That's a right response. That's what we're to do. While we wait for the rapture of the church, how do we go about to establish a church? We need to have a zeal to help people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We need to take tracts with us and hand out tracts and leave tracts behind. We need to put articles in the placemats in the diners and then invite people to come to church. Right, Barb? That's what we need to do. And put articles in the newspaper. Oh, you know what? I wonder if the newspaper's going to be around much longer. But we need to somehow get the good news spread out there. How about it, folks? Let's be busy about, and let's get a zeal for it. And it'll come, first of all, when you realize it's in the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit will stir up that little ember in you to say, yeah, it's in the Bible. People need to get saved. And it'll start helping you to see opportunities to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take those opportunities. They don't come very often, do they? They don't come very often. Take the opportunities to be a witness for the Lord. A zeal to spread good news. Number 7, a boldness. That's the word. A boldness to continue in the face of persecution. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 30 is a good passage there. When they were told, don't preach anymore in this name, they prayed and asked God for strength to do so. Acts chapter 4, verses 41 and 42. Chapter 9, verse 31, and chapter 16, verse 25. We need to have a boldness to continue in the face of persecution. Acts 16, the Philippian jailer getting saved there. Paul and Silas, whipped, thrown into prison. And what'd they do? Well, Paul says to Silas, what do you think? Silas says, well, Paul, why don't we sing? And they started to sing. I wonder what the songs were they sang. I wonder if they were like ours. I know they weren't ours because ours weren't made until later. In fact, some of them are rather modern. But wonder what kind of songs they sang. Probably psalms out of the Psalms and that. And they must have sang about Jesus Christ because midnight came around and God shook that place with a great earthquake so that everybody was loosed. And the jailer thought he was a dead man, going to take his own life as a result of it. And Paul says, do thyself no harm. And the Bible says he sprang in and came down before Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, give us a lot of money and come to church and get baptized. They didn't say that. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Period. Oh no, they added, and thy house. You know what? Paul and Silas were concerned about if there's anyone else in your house, they do the same thing, they'll get saved too. We need to have a zeal and then a boldness to continue in the face of persecution. Folks, we may see it in our lifetime. See what? Persecution. We may see it. The liberal left wing, they don't have any time for your message. And they don't think that you should even be allowed to teach your children. I mean right down to your own children. But you need to. Oh, those children need to learn of Jesus at a young age. Oh, yes. This little one right here, that one right there, and that one back there. They need to learn of Jesus and be saved at a young age. And everyone else in this church needs to be busy about the job of trying to help them come to know Christ as Savior. And when persecution comes, we better not bow out. We need to have boldness and stand right there and say, Lord, give us strength. We don't know how we're going to get through this. This is tough. This is rough. And it is. Persecution is never an easy thing. But the Lord will take us through. He'll find a way for us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what happens to us. He's promised to be with us. So we need to have a boldness. Our Savior went that same way. We need to follow in His footsteps. Last one, number 8. All in one. What do you think I'm going to say? Marge, what? Accord. A-C-C-O-R-D. All in one accord with one heart and soul. Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 37. You see it right there. Boy, those people got together. They even gave of their goods and everything to help each other out. And we need to do the same thing, by the way. We've got to get the deacon's fund basket out there, Brother Jim. Today's communion. And we want to take an offering for those that may be in need in the church. And we help people sometimes who have troubles and problems along the way. So put a little bit in the deacon's fund offering today, this morning. But that's what they did too. And we need to do that. We need to be all in one accord. You know what? No murmuring, complaining. No saying, well, nobody appreciates me here and all things like that. And look, we all need to get together in one accord. In conclusion, some practical things here. Attendance. There's the first one. Attendance. Go to church. You say, where's the Bible for that? Well, Hebrews 10:25. There you go. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembly. All right. You all know that one. You hear me say that all the time. You know what, though? I need to exhort you one more time. Let's go to church. Every time the church doors are open, you try to get yourself through those doors and be there. Who knows? Take tonight. Who knows who's going to be here tonight? Actually, I'm working on a family right down here on Front Street. I was hoping to see them here this morning. Maybe they'll come out tonight. I hope they come. They'll see somebody else here. You need to be here. You need to be in attendance for all these reasons, all the reasons that we gave. And then second line there, evangelistic. We need to be desiring to help people come to know the Lord and Savior. All of us. We all need to be thinking along those lines. Any time of opportunity, what can we do for the Lord, Pastor? Can we give? Here's some money. I got some money. What can we do with it? Yes. Let's give it to the work of the Lord. Let's further the things of the Lord. The next line is supportive. Supportive. Not tearing down, not finding fault. Look, you can find fault. There will be fault. Why? Because we're people. We're faulty people. It's easy to find fault. Let's be supportive. Let's try to find the good things to support and to help out. And let's not be looking for problems and troubles and little cracks here and there. You'll find them. They're easy to find. Let's be supportive of the work. What can we do? How can we serve the Lord better? And then the next line would be prayerful. Let's pray. Pray more. Think about these things and take them to the Lord in prayer. Lord, help us as a church to be a solid, good, strong, true to You, faithful, biblical, sound church for the Lord. Prayerful. And last one is voluntarism. V-O-L-U-N-T-A-R-I-S-M. Voluntarism. Volunteers for Jesus, a soldier true. Loyalty to Christ. Volunteers are needed. I'll help. What can I do? I got some tables that need to be taken down. Says, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, maybe if you have a bad back, I can understand. But you know what? Get in there and help out. Just do what you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't sit by and say, well, nobody ever asked me. You got to volunteer. You got to volunteer. The call is out there. I think I had a sheet out here of a whole bunch of things that could be done. How about it? Take a look at that thing and say, all right, look, I'll try this. We'll see if we can get this accomplished. Volunteers for Jesus. Oh, you know, Uncle Sam needs you. Yeah, some of you older ones, you remember seeing those little posters. Uncle Sam needs you. Jesus Christ needs you and wants you to willingly. See, we're not going to draft you. We're not going to draft you here at Ray Street Baptist Church. You got to be willing. You got to say, Can I? I want to. I'm willing. That's what you got to be like. I don't want to have to draft people. Every once in a while I have to because it has to get done. But I don't like to do that. I don't like to do it. I'd rather have people say, I'll help. What can I do? Give me something to do. We'll give you something to do. There's things to be done. I got a list of things that need to be done. A good portion of that list would be to pray for things, to support things, to be evangelistic. Let's take these things to heart. 33 years. Thank God for all the years He's given to us. It's been a good time, hasn't it? What if the Lord came back today? Would we say, boy, those 33 years, they were good. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for what you accomplished through Ray Street Baptist Church. But if He doesn't come today, what will we do for Him tomorrow? Let's just let the Lord have His way with us. Maybe you're here today, you haven't even started yet. You haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to let Him in. You need to let Him into your heart. Let's take our hymn books, our song books that we were using this morning, and turn to number 29, Jason. Number 29, let Him in. There's a stranger at the door. Oh, He wants to come in, save your lost soul. Christians, as we sing this, how about making a decision? I'm gonna follow these things. Maybe one or two of these points spoke right to you. What are you going to do with it? I hope and pray that you will decide to do that in the days of life ahead between now and the rapture. As we sing this song, if you're here today and not saved, would like help trusting Christ as Savior, I invite you to step out from where you're at. I'll be down here, and we'll have someone help you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It'll be the greatest decision you could ever make. Let's stand and sing number 29. Good, all right. First and last verse, I want to hear the ladies get that, let the Savior in there, all right?
Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.